Back here on the field, I'm Dan Satora here on WakeUpCallDT.com, part of the Dan Satora broadcast media family. As always, special guest and analyst when it comes to football, Robert Drummond from the NFL, CFL, and right in Syracuse's backyard playing for the Orange and being a member of that final, as far as history goes so far, undefeated team with Mr. McPherson as your quarterback. And I want to start there first and foremost, Rob. Well, first, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me.
And happy to have you here. Having McPherson as your quarterback and knowing that this season his jersey will be pulled up and put up on the rafters with names that have, you know, such an influence in Syracuse history, names like Ernie Davis, names like Jim Brown, names like Larry Zonka. Having McPherson up there and having played with him, what does it mean to you as his teammate to know that it's going to be there?
I mean, personally for me, it's a great honor to have played with such a great athlete, you know, and gentleman and scholar as Donnie McPherson. When we first got to Syracuse as freshman, you know, we see this young man playing the game, and he approached the game like everyone should approach the game. He approached it with dignity. He approached it with pride. He approached it with hustle. He approached it with valor. Every intangible you can think of that you wanted to instill or see in the football player, Donnie approached the game, and he made everyone around him better. It was as if he was the Michael Jordan, basically, to us, of our football team. He just made everyone around us better, and I couldn't be more proud of him, and what a great accomplishment, you know, and it's an award well-deserved.
Knowing that McPherson and McNabb will both, you know, the irony of it, having two Dons and the MC there, too, looking at what I like to call the Dons of Syracuse football, both being honored in the same year. When you look at McPherson and you look at McNabb, did you ever see any similarities, or is it just two good quarterbacks that played for Syracuse?
I mean, the similarities is they both knew how to win. They both knew how to make the other athletes and the other players on their team that much better. But I think they were both from different eras, or they were both from different eras. Donnie knew how to win back in the mid to late 80s, you know, and Donovan knew how to win in the 90s. You know, so it's just a combination of them both going out there and just believing in themselves, the coaches believing in them, and just making the players around them better. That's a sign of a great quarterback. There are good quarterbacks that can go out there and just be great themselves and go for a lot of yards. The great ones really know how to make the other teammates around them, not just on offense, on defense also, that much better. And that's how championships are won.
Knowing what you did with Syracuse and knowing what you accomplished, can you see this team, especially now moving into the ACC, can you see Syracuse achieving greatness again, the greatness that you got to feel as a player?
I can. You know, right now the players just have to relax and just believe in themselves. Don't believe the press clippings. Don't believe the media hype. You know, don't get into a false sense of security or whether you're good or whether you're bad. Just go out there and work hard. The harder you prepare, the more you'll be prepared once a game starts. You know, so just go out there and approach practice as you would a game. Just get ready for the season, and that's all you have to do. And stop worrying about everything else.
Talk about getting ready and preparation that you just brought up. One of the things that you've gotten to do recently is, you know, connect yourself with an NFL camp that has been going on, a camp that allows 9th through 12th to get ready, to get prepared, and to, you know, show off their talents. What did you experience when you had this opportunity to go to the camp, and share with everyone what camp that was?
Well, actually, I went to Elmira, New York, you know, and it was a camp that's called the HSPD, which stands for High School Player Development Camp, and it's run by the NFL and the National Guard. And first, I'd like to say, I'd never been to Elmira, New York before, and I remember just riding into Elmira, New York, and just having goosebumps as I saw this big, huge plaque of Ernie Davis as I'm driving into the town. I'm like, wow, I'm in a town of the player that played the position at Syracuse that I did, and I remember just getting goosebumps. And as I drove up to the football field, I was like, wow, Ernie Davis actually played here. And I mean, it's just, for a feeling for SU running back, they would know what I meant, or know what I mean by that, you know. And it's just that I was honored, I was privileged. I can't find the words to describe what I felt at that moment, because I was like, I was representing someone who I really looked up to as Syracuse as a running back, because he was one of the greatest at Syracuse of all time. So here I am speaking to a group of kids, and I explained that to the kids at the time. You know, what an honor it was for me to be here speaking to them, because Ernie Davis' legend, Ernie Davis' legacy is what I was speaking about, because I was speaking as a former Syracuse University football player. But being at the camp, it's a camp that's going to actually come to Syracuse next year sometime. We're trying to finalize, it's finalized, it's definitely coming to Syracuse, but we're trying to finalize the venue. But it's a camp, the NFL, and as I said before, the National Guard have started, where they basically want to go around and get current players and former players and high school coaches to go around and basically teach these young gentlemen the fundamentals of football. You know, get them away from the running and catching and touchdown passes, you know, because that's the flamboyant part of the game. They just want to teach them the fundamentals, the things that we learn in high school, the things we learn in college, the things that we learn in the pros that make us that much better. You know, you can get a group of young kids around a bunch of athletes who have been successful, who have been good at what they do. You know, these kids seem to listen. These kids seem to learn. These kids seem to understand that, you know what, it's giving back. Pro athletes always deserve, you know, should understand that they need to give back to these young kids as they're going through in life. And that's one thing I really, really, really fell in love with this camp. You know, John Evans, a head coach over at OCC, you know, was the one who got me involved with it. And once he told me about it, anything to help kids, I'm always for. And when I got down there, you know, the kids sat there and listened to me for about, I spoke probably for about 35, 40 minutes, you know, but in all, they all got up and pretty much shook my hand afterwards, you know, and told me, thank you for taking the time to come down, you know, and believe in us, you know, and sit here and teach us on how to get to that next level. So that's all we are as educators, you know. We definitely are educators. As parents, we're educators. As teachers, we're educators. As coaches, we're educators. So you know what? Educate these kids and teach them how to become better than us. That's one thing I have no problem with. I wish every child I train, every child I teach, every child I coach would always be better than me one day. Will that happen? I have no idea. But you know what? I will doggone sure give them the best possible opportunity to be better than me one day.
And that's interesting that you say that, because some people with the me lifestyle, that I come first, when you look at that, it's I want people to be good but never be as good as me, never surpass me. But when you see the best of the best and the records that are broken, the players that have these records broken, when Dickerson's record was being approached by Peterson and saying it would be an honor to have somebody like Adrian Peterson, I think it says a lot about not just the player but more so the person when you can take a step back, like you said, and say, I've accomplished, but I'm training people to be better than me. I'm talking to people to be better than me. Because there is the opposite that lives, you know. I want them to be good, but I don't want them to pass my record. I want to go down in history as the best. But what instilled that in you, that you got to a certain point, but you want your children, other people's children, to be able to surpass that? What created that inside of you that you have that feeling?
Honestly, I think the one thing about it is just I love the game of football. I didn't play football games for records. I didn't play football games for winning losses. I didn't play football games for the simple fact that I love to play the game. I mean, I just love to be able to be out there running around, you know, making a catch here, you know, just stand up and just be proud of myself, you know. It wasn't for the fans. I mean, no disrespect to the fans. I loved having them there, and it was a joy having them there. But I didn't play for the fans. I played for myself and the love of the game, you know. And at one point, I remember in a Canadian Football League game, I guess at halftime, I come in at halftime, my head coach walks over to me. He goes, Robert, do you want to keep playing? I mean, we're up in this game by like 40-something plus points. And he asked me, you know, do you want to keep playing in the game? And I was like, Coach, the score is like 48-0. He's like, I'm like, why? He's like, because you have four touchdowns, you know, and he said, one more touchdown, you break the records. And I was like, I got four touchdowns in one half. I didn't even know how many touchdowns I had scored at halftime. And I was like, nah, no need for me to play. I'll just save myself for the playoffs, you know. I don't need the records, you know. Somebody will break it one day anyway, so no big deal. He's like, you know what? And he told me, you're always a consummate pro. He's like, you don't have to play if you want to. I was like, nah, I don't want to play. So I came out the second half, not even with my shoulder pads on, knowing I could have broken the record, but the record was important to me. What was important to me was for me to be healthy for my teammates later in the season for us to get to the championship. And we ended up winning the championship that year because I stayed healthy the rest of the year playing that way. That's the type of player I was. I was never the type of player who cared about stats, who cared about yards, who cared about any of that. What I cared about was going out there playing as hard as I could to be successful and get into the championship. And that's what I try to instill in these children. It's never about you on that football field. It's never about you on that basketball court. It's never about you on that soccer field, hockey. No matter what sports you play, it's always about, it's a team sport for a reason. And you should care as much about one teammate as you do the next teammate. And it's about you sacrificing and you giving all of yourself to go out there and win as a team. I mean, at one point in another CFL game, I won the MVP trophy. And I sat there and told the reporters on the national audience, I wish I could have broken that trophy up into 5 or 6 or 7 pieces and given it to every single person on my offensive staff. Because you know what? Without them, there is no me. I understood that. You know, that's what team sports are about. So that's what I try and instill in these kids. I want every single kid, as I said before, to be better than me. I want my children to be better than me. You know what? And I'll give them the fortitude. I'll give them the ability. I'll give them the know-how that I have to try to have them possibly be better than me one day. I have no problem with that at all. I have no ego. Not at all. know, and anyone who knows me knows that. You know, and it, that's what I try to go out there to do. I always speak to kids, and I put them in the same level as me. When kids first see me, they see me as all this big, awe-inspiring, you know, former NFL player, Syracuse University guy who's on football cards and things of that nature. By the time they're done talking to me, they know that me and them are eye to eye. We're at the same level. And that's the thing that all athletes should instill in children.
Having that bridge to the kids, what are you seeing in the youth of today? I think that some people look at our culture, our American culture, and say, oh my God, you know, the younger you get, the more in trouble we are because we're creating this individualistic lifestyle. You don't have to see anybody. You can text. You don't have to, you know, go to someone's house. You can just put something on the computer. That we've kind of made it an impersonal world. When you reach out and you have that personal aspect and you're right in front of the kids, how do you see the kids responding to you? Do you see hope? Do you see kids there that truly want to have that connection?
Well, for me personally, I make it real. You know, when kids look at the television, all right, say they see someone like a Dan Marino or Tom Brady on television. That's a television set. Turn that TV off and, you know, they're gone. Whereas someone with me, when I'm talking one-on-one with them, you know, you can't turn me off. It's like it's a living, breathing human person who's actually sitting there talking to them so they can actually sit there and correspond and ask me questions and not give them questions back. The one thing I always try and do with children is tell them the true story and tell them the whole life truth, you know. But the simple fact that college is tough. You know, scholarships are, you know, it's basically sign a scholarship once per year. You know, it's not you sign a scholarship and you get 4 years. It doesn't work like that. At the end of each year, they evaluate. You know, next year, they evaluate. The next year, they evaluate. So you have to go out there and put as much hard work in, you know, on the playing field as you do in the classroom. And that's one thing I tell them. Did I make mistakes? Of course I did. I mean, I wouldn't be human if I didn't make mistakes. You know, you're going to make mistakes along the way. But try and limit those mistakes. So I can sit there and tell them about the mistakes I've made. So now they know, I mean, it's okay, Mr. Drummond can make mistakes like this. It's okay to make a mistake, but try to limit that mistake. I try and take all the rough spots that I had in my career to a successful career and have them, you know, already know about those. So if they come up on situations like that, they can be much that much better for it, you know?
When you see those mistakes that you've made and you see what's gone on in your past, and as you look forward with these kids, when you looked at this camp, who stood out to you? Is there somebody that, you know, made a mistake at the camp or whatever it may be, talked to you about something that stood out to you? Because, I mean, I can say that when I go to an event, when you look back on events, there's certain key people or key something that you saw that you just remember. When I went out to Big East Media Days, I remember talking to Doug Marone, and who played with you and was Syracuse's coach before Scott Schaefer. And I just remember talking with Doug like a guy, like just any guy. And I remember him telling me stories about New Orleans and just kind of nudging you with his elbow. And that's what I remember about going to that event is just seeing a different side. Is there something that stuck out to you in this NFL camp that you take with you?
Nothing that really stuck out. You know, I'm always looking for mistakes in people so I can smile at them just to let them know it's okay. You know, the error is human. You know, but you learn from it. And I told every kid, in every speech I ever give, I always tell kids, you know what? Go out there and make as many mistakes as you can. But you learn from it. It's okay. You know, no one's perfect. We're all going to make mistakes one day, but just learn from it and move forward. You know, if you sit there and dwell on a mistake all the time, it's going to collapse you. You're never going to be able to be successful in what it is you want to do in life. I've learned more I've known more for losses than I ever have from wins in my life. You know, like the losses taught me how to win. And that's what these young kids have to understand. We live in a society where it's about, you know, the beautiful girl, you know, the perfect lifestyle, you know, the perfect athlete, the, you know, win, 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 all. That's not what it's about because you don't learn anything. You know, you learn from the school of hard knocks. And you learn from losses. You learn from pain. You learn from troubles because you learn what you don't like to feel like and you learn what you do like to feel like. And if you can get on the side where you do like to feel like more often, you'll be fine. So have these kids go out there and make as many mistakes as they can, but as parents, as educators, as leaders, as the ones who are above them, as the ones who are much older than them, who they're looking up to, we have to be the ones to define, and we have to be the ones to tell them how to do it and how to accomplish it.
Being one of those leaders, someone in the community that you mentioned just a few minutes ago, John Evans, over at OCC, their football coach, they're at the junior college level. Syracuse has taken from the junior college level from across the country. Yes, there's been many that have come from California recently, but they reached into other areas, went out and got a guy like Josh Kirkland, who's going to be on the team this season, who obviously made a name for himself in the spring game with two big hits. At this junior college level at OCC, this is OCC in and of itself to me is like this gem that continues to get brighter and brighter, yet people aren't digging through the rock to see it. You can see the brightness coming through, but they're not willing to push some of these rocks over. And I know that from talking with basketball staffs and lacrosse staffs. This football staff, led by John Evans, talk to everyone that's listening right now about who he is and what he's building, because you have a lot of respect for a program that I believe should be out there a little bit more.
I mean, the OCC football team is on the verge of greatness. I mean, he's getting athletes from, you know, athletes who are doing a little bit bad academically in school, you know, but they need to go to JUCO school, you know, to basically get their grades up. But guys from Notre Dame, from West Virginia, some guys from University of Miami, you know, all these players are coming to Syracuse in our own backyard. You know, so it's going to be something special to where now Syracuse, I think, will get the recognition that they well so deserve. I've always personally thought that our own backyard had some of the most talented athletes, I thought, at least in the North and East. But no one really gave us any kind of, you know, recognition or any kind of acknowledgement. You know, now we're going to get that recognition and acknowledgement to the point where he's assembled a staff with Pete Kirkendall, who I played against at Penn State as a defensive coordinator, you know, so he's an assembled staff up there at OCC where he's asked me to be on board also, but I mean, I'm going to try and bide my time and try and do a few things where I'm definitely going to try and help the program be successful as much as I can, because that's who I am. But it's just going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch the next couple of years.
What is it about John Evans and what type of person that he is that makes you want to help him and that this program that you said is pulling players from your Notre Dames, from your Miamis, going from these schools that are big on the BCS radar, schools that have had great history, rich history, a lot of tradition, when there's academic troubles and they have to go to this level, why do you think they're going to OCC? What is it about John that makes him enticing?
You know, the thing that I can say honestly is that from the first time I met him, you know, he is what he says and he says what he is. And he cares. You know, he cares. There are a lot of coaches that will feed you one thing, you know, and do another thing. That's not John. You know, when I first met him, it's just like from him bouncing from one camp to the next camp, going out there, doing all these things for his players, you know, he has a heart. You know, and I know that may sound cruel. I know that might sound crass about a coach, you know, but I've seen a lot of coaches, I've seen a lot of players, you know, just care about themselves. John seems to care about every single person, every single player, and try and get players around him who can possibly sit there and get the best out of each athlete, to the point where he's had some of his athletes call me, you know, about working out and everything, and I'd sit there, and he knows. I mean, I've sat down and written him individualized workout plans for this summer. You know, and he's like, you know, that's the heart he had. I always respect a coach who has a big heart, and he has a big heart.
Do you believe that this OCC program, led by John Evans, and like you said, having a staff that has former collegiate players, even a guy that you went up against at Penn State, do you believe that what he is building here is something special that this community should become a part of while they have the opportunity to?
I think OCC will be a nationally recognized name in the next 2 to 3 to 4 years. I mean, that's a given. I mean, I promise that. You know, with the staff he's collecting, with the desire he has for these kids to do well, and with surrounding himself like people like Pete Kirkendall, you know, myself, you know, Nick Patterson, who's a high school football coach at Nottingham, who has a passion for not just football, but a passion to help kids. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful thing to watch these next couple of years.
Going from the junior college level up to the NFL, there's a lot of different camps.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say that the one that is covered the most and talked about the most is training camp, the major training camp when everybody's together, the rookies are with the vets. But before that, you hear about voluntary camps, camps that by definition you don't have to go to, but you being a player know that that's not true.
There's no such thing as a voluntary camp. They'll say voluntary because they mandate it by the collective bargaining agreement, but it's a voluntary mandatory camp, which is what we used to call it. But it's, you know, you cannot show up if you want, but you know, secretly you will get fined. And by getting fined, I mean you may lose your roster spot, or you know, if you're someone on the outside looking in, have a chance not making the team, because for the coaches, they see it as a person who's not committed to winning. You know, and here's a camp that's voluntary, but you're not committed to winning because you're not there. Yes, it's voluntary, but if you want to get better as a team, if you want to get better and win the Super Bowl, you should be there. You should take the time to be there. So they really, really get insulted if you don't show up for these voluntary camps, as they call them.
The OTAs, organized team activity, Bring me into one of those and how that separates itself from a mini camp, from a training camp or whatever is out there.
Well, you know, the OTA is basically when you come together, you know, and you go over the it can be a bunch of things for OTAs. You can go over the game plans, you know, you can just get acclimated with your new teammates. You know, you can go over special teams, you can meet new coaches. You know, you can go through a lifting and workout program where they have guys actually stay in the hometown with the team they play with during the off season, because a lot of these guys live other places. So OTA is basically for the get team camaraderie and get team togetherness, because that's what a lot of these coaches feel that it takes for a team to be successful, which I understand, which I can't understand also. You know, but it's something that they, again, they don't say it's mandatory, but it's expected.
Yeah.
It truly is expected. If you expect to be on that team, on that 53-man roster at the start of the season, you better be at every voluntary camp, voluntary workout, and anything voluntary, put an M in front of it, or mandatory voluntary.
Going a step further from, you know, OTAs and also from the voluntary camps, when you have veterans be able to get together and then you have your rookie mini camps, how vital is it to have that time where the vets can work together and the rookies can work together before they work together as a whole?
That's very, very, I mean, very valuable time, you know, because the vets come in, they're already on the ground running. You know, they've been there before, you know, they're the old sergeants of the class. Whereas these new guys come in, they're awestruck. I remember my first induction into the NFL when I first got there. I was more awestruck around being, you know, like the likes of a Chris Carter, you know, a Randall Cunningham, a Keith Byers, a Reggie White. You know, Eric Allen, Andre Waters, you know, here's the guys I look up to as a little kid growing up and everything, and wow, now I'm playing against them. So it takes about 3 or 4 or 5 days, you know, of spinning around, just being more impressed and just being more in awe, you know, and then once the ground settled, you know, I was fine. My athleticism took over, you know, and all these athletes will be just fine. Once they just get in there and just do what you've been doing the rest of your life, your entire life, go out there and just play football.
Training camp, when it all comes together, how important is it to get out of your familiar surroundings, or are you more a proponent of staying where you are? An example, the New York Jets decide to get away and they bring their setup to SUNY Cortland as opposed to staying on the island. Are you for or against a team leaving what they're used to and playing somewhere else?
You know, at that point, I'm for it. Because, I mean, regardless of what anyone says, that 53-man roster, you still have to make the team. You know, so your entire focus for minicamp and training camp should be basically on football. So all those other extracurricular activities or any extraneous stimuli, as Coach Mack used to say, that are in your head or bothering you, that could be in your head if you're staying at the city, should be gone. So going to a place, you know, down there in Cortland for the Jets is the best thing in the world for them, because they don't have those outside distractions that are bothering them that they would have, you know, in Hempstead.
Quick preview here from you, because we'll obviously go deeper into this as they happen. Giants in Albany, The Bills in Rochester, The Jets in Cortland. If you had a choice and you could only go to one, where would you go and why?
Don't like the Giants. The Jets, I think, is kind of wrong with it. Tebow and Doug Marone with the Bills. The Bills. You know, the Bills and Doug Marone and the Bills, because I think they actually had a great draft. And I can see the Bills doing some very special things this year, you know, with the draft they had. So the Bills have kind of been my adapted team now for a little bit since Doug Marone went there. And I think they had a very, very good draft. And I want to see them do it well, you know, this year, because I think they've had quite a few years of, you know, turmoil in that city, you know, but I would like to see the Bills do years to the other team, I'd say.
Looking at the mentioning of Tim Tebow, and we've spent a lot of time on him before, I had made the statement that the media had this very interesting atmosphere that they built, because I've never seen them want to push somebody out of the NFL more than a guy like Tim Tebow, but if they ever succeeded in it, they'd have nothing to talk about. Mm-hmm. So it was a house built upon sand that if you actually succeeded, you would have nothing.
Yeah.
He gets a job with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Your first reaction to hearing Tim Tebow not only is in the NFL, but he's a Patriot?
My first reaction, what I said to somebody who was a huge Tebow fan, was that, you know, I found it interesting that Gronk was going in for his fifth or sixth you know, surgery, you know, and they signed Tebow, who's someone who I thought was a great athlete. I didn't think he had the intangibles to play quarterback in the NFL, but he had the intangibles to be a great athlete. And I had always said to myself, he's like, you know what, he would make a great H-back or a great tight end or just a great athlete who can move out there in space. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Tebow, because he comes in as the number three quarterback, and Ryan Mallett can throw the ball. You know, so that's, he's not going to out, Tebow's not going to outthrow him, and Tom Brady's still there, so he can sit there and learn the quarterback position, or he can sit there and play an H-back position until Gronk get back, and then understand that, you know what, wow, I could be a Pro Bowler at this. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But you know what, never second guess Bill Belichick, because he's a smart man.
Tim Tebow comes out for a play. Your gut reaction, what's he going to do?
Ooh, my gut reaction, he'll be lined up at the H-back, but H-back position, and he'll be moving around and be able to get him the ball and catch or anything, because he's a great runner. You know, he's physical, he's tough, and that's what, you know, look at the two best players really on the Patriots team and making plays. They're Hernandez and Gronkowski. People could fit right into that mold.
Is there anybody that can figure out how to use Tebow better than the mastermind of Bill Belichick?
No. Bill Belichick says Tim Tebow's best option to being able to go out there and be successful as a football player, I feel.
Rob Drummond here once again back on the field. Can't disagree with him about Tebow. I think it's a great fit for him to go to the New England Patriots with a guy that will figure out a way to make sure that he scores multiple touchdowns and runs up the score on plenty of teams out there. And don't forget, folks, they play the Jets twice, and the Jets have a way of having history come back and slap them across the face when they make the wrong choices. So it'll be an interesting season for the Jets as they go up against the Patriots. I'm Dan Satora here on WakeUpCallDT.com for Back on the Field with Rob Drummond. Rob, as always, thank you.
Thank you.